one question is about objects. Some people think if there was more awareness and more understanding, objects would become clearer, like sound would be clearer, visible object would be clearer, scene would be clearer. But in fact, that can be just without any right view. The objects could be very clear to just loper and ignorance, I think, in the sense, right?
So there are two meanings of clear, or clearness. When the object is clear, it means that the moment when the citta experiences the object, but it's so very rapidly, so how can it appear as clear as it is? Mm-hmm. But nothing can experience such clearness, only citta. Even now what appears to not only citta, to other mental factors too, but the other mental factors does not perform the function of citta. So it's clear in a meaning. The clearness of sight experiences that as it is. But when there is no understanding, it cannot be as clear as it is at all. When there's no understanding, the object does not appear as it is at all. For example, it does not appear clear now because it's gone. What is seen, and then the other object is there, and attention paid on that object, the next one. So how can that one is experienced as clear? It depends on right understanding. Even the clearness of the object which is experienced by the citta is not as when it is experienced by panya.
But isn't it different? Seeing experiences visible object. So it experiences and sees clearly the visible object, whereas understanding does not see. Understanding understands. So it's different function, isn't it? Understanding and seeing.
Okay, without understanding and with understanding, what is clear?
But what does understanding understand? It understands just a characteristic of visible object. It does not see visible object.
When we talk about clear in different sense, different factor, different function, clear, when citta experiences the object clearly, it has no understanding. It just experiences clear. So we know what is the difference between what is there now.
So that is two different meanings of clear.
It is not as clear as when right understanding is there, clearer.
Even in that meaning, mm-hmm. Sukhinda Ajahn is saying it's even clearer in that sense, that first sense that you're talking about. Well, I can see that because if there's vipassana jnana, I mean, the mind door suddenly reveals itself. So there must be, it must be really vivid, I guess. So.
Otherwise, we don't know that what appears now is not as clear as when it appears to panya. Because even panya right now understand conventionally just the story of what now is there to be seen. But it's not like when panya with direct awareness, see, even the word direct awareness is not now. So how can the object appear clear as when there is panya with direct awareness? Just directly on that object, only one object at a time. See, and when it's just the beginning of the development of panya, just begin to understand it. This is what it can be known as it is, not other moment. It has to be this very moment when it's there to be known. Otherwise, it's just thinking about seeing right now as it sees, and we think about seeing. So it doesn't appear clear, no matter it is seeing or the thing or the object of seeing.
So because panya is in a sense isolating objects, the clarity of each object will be clearer.
That's it.
Wow.
And when it's the beginning, it's not as clear. Oh. When it's the vipassana jnana,
yes.
And before that,
yes.
It has to be the difference between the object, one object at a time, be known, and the other moment when not only one object appearing now, so many objects. That's why we can begin to understand that we live in the world of nimitta or dream world of what are there now. In fact, in truth, nobody, nothing at all. Just one characteristic appears in a moment only.
Is there a difference you say that we live in the world of nimitta, and then at another time you may say we live in the world of concepts. Is there any difference between these two? The world of nimitta and the world of concepts.
How come concept without nimitta?
What exactly is the difference?
That we do not live in the world of truth or understanding what is there as it is. But we take nimitta as so real.
So when we are saying living in the world of nimitta, you're not saying the nimitta, which is also the object of wisdom, but you're saying the nimitta, which is the object of ignorance.
Now, nimitta of people and things, mm-hmm. and what about nimitta of one characteristic of a reality?
So because that is still nimitta?
Nimitta. For all, in Tipitaka, rupa nimitta, sanya nimitta, vedana nimitta, sankhara nimitta, all reality, conditioned reality appears as nimitta.
So even the arahat is experiencing exactly. nimitta. They're living in a world of nimitta.
Otherwise,
in that sense.
How can they tell us about the truth?
So that's it. Yeah.
But when we say living in a world of concept, that's more the normal pahujana before we heard. It's not nimitta of reality.
Because I remembered hearing this and understanding it this way during one of the Zoom discussions, and I was told that Achan meant living the world of nimitta was referred to living with ignorance, but that's what I understood, that it is nimitta regardless it's in understanding or not, ignorance or understanding, it's still nimitta.
When we talk about understanding the present moment, in a sense the understanding is knowing the nimitta of the reality, obviously, because
it rises and falls so fast,
and because there's understanding of anger, understanding can't arise at exact time, same time as anger, so of course it's the nimitta of anger.
So Achan, if it was not nimitta, if there was no nimitta, even panya cannot develop, because there must be, panya can develop only because the realities have nimitta.
Begin from now, what appears? Nimitta. We take it so real, but in truth, it's only nimitta of the whole as this and that, but nimitta even of seeing. And right understanding, understand what is meant by ignorance, cannot understand the truth of what is there. That's why we have to understand the meaning of each word of the Buddha, even nimitta, even panjati, even nimitta of reality, and nimitta of the whole as thing and people. In darkness of ignorance. And panya, it's only panya which can understand the subtlety of what is there now, appear as permanent. In truth, not at all. Imagine the world of absolute reality. It cannot be taken for anything at all. Just one reality at a time, so clear. Stronger and stronger to let go the idea of self.
At different levels of vipassana.
That's why even the first vipassana jhana, it's not now. And it's only the beginning, the first vipassana jhana, no doubt about the characteristic of the reality which now experiences and that which is experienced. But lots of ignorance long time ago accumulated until it's so very, very short. And then what about that which has been accumulated more than just one moment of directly appear, understand what is there?
So, just to be clear, say during the first vipassana jhana, for example, is that also the world of nimitta?
Because only one single unit of citta cannot be known by way of process,
and it would be more than one process, even in
right.
Vipassana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why it has to be so natural. It's so very quick, very short. Everything is like that now, gone, see. But now, among other things, there is ignorance. But by then, among other things, it's right understanding directly of the characteristic, which is now as usual.
When you say it's not as usual, you mean it's clear.
Naturally.
Oh, as usual.
As usual.
Because you see now, who knows what would be the next moment, next reality. It can be that very moment, unexpectedly. That is the meaning of anatta, anattaness.
When there's vipassana jnana, usually the mind door is covered up by the sense doors, but in vipassana jnana, the mind door is revealed. This is, it's not that anything's changing in a sense, it's exactly like now, but the mind door shows itself clearly. It's
just
isolated
right
from,
now,
from,
see,
yeah.
Mind knows. It does not appear yet.
No.
But by then,
yes.
The world of the truth, one reality at a time. Even just the word one, see, imagine how many now. And that is a moment of one reality appears. Mm-hmm. How clear it is, as it is, depending on right understanding. Whether it is vipassana jnana, the first stage, or more, mm-hmm. by conditions, and understanding how come it has to be unexpectedly. That's why just listen and have right understanding of what is said about what is there now.
When you say just listen and have right understanding, it sort of sounds like ke sera sera, or just listen to Ajahn Sujen or whatever, or read a few books, and then vipassana will pop up, but it's somehow it's more, there's something more to it than that. Can I?
Because
can
you see now, next moment pops up.
Yes.
But unknown. And that is moment of experiencing directly when it pops up.
Yes.
But now it pops up without right understanding.
That you just listen is understanding that it's anatta.
Yes.
Because nothing can be done, right? And the fact that there is wrong practice and there is the idea of doing something is because there's not enough listening. So just keep listening.
Say someone reads or listens to the Tipitaka being recited, or the Abhidhammas, you know, the whole Abhidhamma. In a sense, that is listening to the Buddha, right?
It can be done with right understanding.
Yeah. So in the same way, if we say just listening, there's something there, some ingredient. Like there has to be consideration of what was heard as well. It's not, there is thinking over and considering what is said as well, right? Like we were saying this morning. Can you clarify?
Because we cannot know at all how dhammas work right
yes.
now.
Yes.
We just think in terms of I think.
Mm-hmm.
But in truth, we have to understand from the very beginning in order to get closer and closer to the truth of this moment as it taught. No one so what? Seeing. And what it's seeing, it seems like everyone understands what seeing is. But in fact or in truth, if seeing does not appear as the object of understanding, we just think about seeing. That's why even that which experiences an object doesn't have color or smell or anything at all, it can be known through mind only.
The nimitta of it, the nimitta of the citta.
Always nimitta, even that moment.
Yes.
Even it appears as only one, but it's long enough to know that it's just nimitta
yes.
of only one reality at a time. That's why all dhammas, all conditioned dhammas are all nimitta,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. The reality which does not have nimitta is only nibbana. It does not arise. So how can there be any nimitta? So begin to understand how blind one is in the world of concept. The truth is that nothing, all gone. From moment to moment, only one characteristic. Even that is not enough. And only the right understanding can see that that cannot be enough to understand more and more, let go more and more. What is there now? If it's not the understanding of what is there now, it's impossible to be such moment of letting go the idea of self or thing, because it has been accumulated quite a long, long time ago, eons and eons, uncountable eons. And that which hasn't come yet cannot be imagined. Like we live under the water, never be on the shore or this, that, no. How can we imagine what is there? Even just one characteristic now and pop up, always pop up by conditions. No idea about the truth of what is there now at all, because it's covered up by eons and eons ago of ignorance. So that can be the moment of understand ignorance, but only intellectually, as long as it doesn't show up as its ignorance. Because even at moment of vipassanayana, can ignorance arise? See? Can or cannot? Not together.
Not together, but...
But there are conditions for everything, like now. Mm. Now, no understanding, but at moment of understanding, like now, is understood. Directly experienced. No doubt about what is meant by a mind of process and sensor process. What is more, see? The sensor is so very short, only one single object, and minder object, more than that.
And yet mind door is covered up by the sense door process.
Sensor is just so very little. Mm-hmm. How can it be something, so, or someone?
So why does the sense door process cover up? It's because it seems so important, the object seems so important to ignorance, or?
Because usually no thought about it.
Mm.
Just thinking about that which appears,
yes, yes,
all the time from birth. So we begin to understand how great wisdom meant by enlightenment.
So, unless it seems that unless one has reached the first stage of vipassanayana, because I keep hearing from in your Thai talks about people only thinking in terms of the object experience, but not think about citta itself. Nobody thinks about the citta. So, but I understand that once the understanding is very high, especially the first vipassanayana, then one starts to think about that which experience.
Depending on conditions too. How much accumulation.
Hmm. I mean, like in the case of the Bodhisattva, it's understandable. He would think about...
All are different. Only one and once in samsara. Even seeing right now. Only once in samsara. And so many realities in a day, unknown all the time. Not enough time sometimes to think about the truth, even of nama and rupa, which has been experienced. So only the first vipassanayana is not enough. Never enough. And to have higher degree, depending on conditions, how long, it doesn't matter at all, because all depends on conditions. And this is a subtle way to let go the idea of self And people mistake that, think that it's so very easy, just go somewhere, have no understanding of anything at all, try to do something, try to concentrate, try to search, no understanding. So all depends on understanding. The best of all kinds of conditioned realities is understanding. It understands, it can develop. And at moment when it's there, it let go. Wrong understanding, attachment and ignorance. So very little at a time, very gradually, compared to that which has been accumulated, ignorance and akusala.
Very gradually, and that's why it takes countless lifetimes.
Right now, who knows how it works? That's why the path is the fourth Ariyasaccha, noble truth. So very subtle, like the first one. If they appear as together, as the whole, how can there be the letting go of that object? But it has to appear as it is.
So we often hear that it has to be one object at a time for the development of
by nimitta.
By nimitta, yes, by nimitta. So it's many objects, but it's nimitta. But we mean one object, like seeing or sound or dosa or lopa or whatever. But when we hear that, there can also be, oh, I'll try and isolate it, which is going the wrong way again. It has to be, as you say, unexpectedly, yeah.
And if Panya doesn't realize, it's there.
Yes, there's that trying in the wrong way to have something. Mm. Yeah, to.
That's why Panya let go, wrong view, wrong practice, sila bhatta paramasa, and so on.
Yeah, that's an example of sila bhatta paramasa, the trying to isolate the object. Yeah.
Even.
I mean, there's understanding or not, because even that moment there's no understanding of the reality that has arisen and already fallen away, and because of that there's this idea about doing something. So when there's understanding, there's no such ideas, and when there are such ideas, it means there's no understanding.
Just going away from a different topic now, I've got my list of questions. We talk about conceit, mana, but in the scriptures, it also says there can be mana one feels lower, less than another person. Yeah, I understand that. But it's with lopa, you'd think, why would one be attached to feeling less than another person? I can understand why one would have a lot of lopa and feel good when one thinks they're better than someone, but why there is still lopa even when we feel less? Can someone explain that?
Lopa attaches to everything except nibbana.
Everything. What did you say?
Lopa attaches to everything.
Right.
Except nibbana.
But when we think that way, that I'm less than someone, usually it's dosa, it's not mana, right? It's usually if I'm thinking, oh, you know, he's so much richer, there's envy or something maybe, but and that's not mana. But but why is it mana also sometimes when one feels less than someone else?
Because
why
it's
not?
Two sides of the same
why not?
Coin. Sorry.
Okay.
Because it's two sides of the same coin, in a sense. There are so many conditions built up for there to be, let's say, feeling less, that you are not as good as somebody else, because it's all a function of this manifestation of self, that we think, This is a self. Oh, people think I'm good, people think I'm bad. Or people think I'm better, people think I'm worse. Or I think I'm worse, or I think or I think I'm better. It's all a manifestation, increasing the concept of self within the thinking.
Giving self, you can understand mana by the term that sometimes you self-importance. So even when you're thinking small, it's self-importance.
Yes,
right. And you feel, but will lopa come sometimes with pleasant feeling? There'll be pleasant feeling at that time, maybe. Do you think?
Or neutral?
Or neutral?
When lopa is there, it has two kinds. It can be pleasant or indifferent.
Yes, yes. Okay. Another question. So, knowing the difference between nama and rupa is one, you know, that's what we've been talking about. Sometimes I think in the text it says rupa is usually clearer than nama. Is that just because of the nature in the beginning, rupa tends to be clearer.
It appears in the day.
Yeah.
While seeing does not appear at all.
Yes, yes. Okay. Even to understanding it, they sometimes suggest that in the beginning rupa would
no change. The truth is the truth.
Okay.
But is that so, Achan? I can understand that hardness is hardness, but that kaya vinyana does not appear, but hardness appears. Even to avicca, so it is quite clear that this is hard. But in the case of, as Robert was just saying, is it that when understanding develops, it understands rupa easier than nama?
Why do you use the term easiest?
Easier, I don't know, that's what it sounded like.
In the Visuddhimagga, I think I remember it sort of suggesting that would be maybe clearer in the beginning to wisdom. I'm not sure, I might have got it wrong, but...
What appears in the day?
What appears is rupa, but to avicca, mm-hmm. of course.
So, when there is a little more understanding, it seems like it's easier,
mm-hmm.
because it appears.
Mm-hmm.
In truth, no one, no thing there.
So it
like
is true.
Like other object.
Yes.
Only that the understanding will not be taken for self; it will be understood as just a reality. But in the beginning, rupas will be understood more than nama.
Because it appears in the day.
Okay.
All the time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, like we were saying, we think about is rupas, right? Different objects, in a sense. Yeah.
But then, the other side of it. If all we think about, and with ignorance, that means there's more ignorance about those accumulated. So why would it be easier?
Why would it be easier to?
To say if you have more, even though it's more, in a day, there's more thinking about visible object, thinking about sound, thinking about hardness, softness, than thinking about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching in a day. But in a day, it's also means more ignorance about visible object, more ignorance about
absolutely.
Hardness. So why would that make it easier for Panya to understand hardness and visible object than understand touch and see?
Well, because if Panya arises, then it understands what it is. It's not a question of just because our mind is focused more on rupa than it is on nama. It just means that if understanding arises, it sees, it understands, there's more clarity in it.
Yeah, what I understand you're trying to be saying is that in the same way that the life doesn't change, it's as normal, so
yeah.
There will be more...
There's just a greater clarity of what it is, that's all.
More experience of hardness and thinking about the hardness, even so in a day... Even if it's thinking with ignorance, because that's the way it is, there'll be more understanding about hardness possible.
I'm not quite sure what you're getting at.
What about kalapa? See, the same or different?
Different, maybe, I don't know. Same, what?
Kalapa cannot be changed.
Oh, I see.
No matter what appears, as big or small, we just think in terms of kalapa, no doubt about hardness. Yeah. What appears as hard is not just one single
kalapa,
but so many to everything. So the moment to understand the way it is as not that, as only kalapa, but we name it as kalapa, it is quite different. No matter it's hard or hot, see, the kalapa is there as other object. Ignorance is there too, as the other object. No matter it's sound or smell or what is seen, all are kalapa.
Yes.
So the moment of understanding the kalapa for everything, not only that object, right? To understand that the truth is that it does not appear as it is, as kalapa, no matter its smell or hardness of everything.
So it's still very advanced understanding to understand that, even if it is...
Otherwise, no meaning of... Vipassanayana.
Yes.
It's only thinking about, but that's not moment of thinking. It appears as it is, different from usual, that it appears as something all the time.
So even if we say Rupa may be clearer in the beginning, it's still very sophisticated.
Not as it is.
Yeah, it's still deep understanding.
Not as it is, as it comes as kalapa. By nimitta.
By nimitta, yeah. Mm-hmm. Stop.
And this is the moment of accumulated parami, understanding with virya, with khanti, with confidence, adhidana, to let go, see, just to let go, not by us, but by right understanding.
Talking about the parami and renunciation and so on. In a sense, when we listen to Dharma or read a Dharma book and we're contemplating the Dharma, where there's renunciation of sense pleasures, like that at those moments there's, one could be watching Netflix or something, but there's renunciation to of
the attachment and ignorance.
Is it sense pleasures that's
including
right?
Sense object.
What else are you thinking of?
Not knowing, just
ignorance.
Yeah.
Attachment.
Can you give an example?
Not understanding this moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Letting go, renounce.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of parami in a very coarse sense. I mean, basic.
Must have
panya with it, yeah.
As leader, just to understand the truth in the absolute sense. If it cannot be realized, Buddha didn't teach about it at all. But since it can be conditioned to let go, ignorance, clinging, attachment to that which is not there anymore.
It's already gone.
At all. No matter what now. It's gone.
But because of ignorance, there's clinging to what is gone and misunderstanding it. Yeah. Wrong view misunderstands it. Mm-hmm. And ignorance is just lack of understanding, I guess. Yeah. We mentioned this morning about thinking over Dharma and contemplating Dharma, and I wanted to ask you about vitaka as the feet of the world. And feet of the world. Ajahn might explain, I don't know it very well. Anyway, Sankhapa, Samasankhapa, is one of the factors of the Eightfold Path, and that is actually vitaka cittasika. So vitaka and the feet of the world and how that relates, and I mean, there's so many, vitaka has so many meanings in a sense. It's sometimes we talk about thinking as thinking over in words, but it's also vitaka touching the object, which is very momentary. So it's quite a complex subject, and I'd like Ajahn to maybe, if she can broaden our understanding on vitaka mm-hmm. and so on.
That's why we have to know how many jittas arise with vitaka. Otherwise we cannot understand what's meant by the feet of the world. But how many jittas arise without vitaka?
I think the sense...
Ten vipaka, seeing, hearing, smelling. Because it is conditioned by karma. Yeah. It's time ready to condition moment of seeing as result of karma through the sense of ways. No need to have vitaka. Only 7 jetasikas condition the moment of seeing, hearing, because karma is there ready for that moment. But sampatichanna, the next one, does not see at all, but it experiences the same object. How can it be without vitaka? So it needs vitaka to touch the object, to experience, even it's not moment of seeing, but it has that object after seeing, because the object hasn't fallen away yet. That's why vitaka arises with almost citta. When we learn more, we can understand the other cittasika, the other citta which does not arise with vitaka. But in common, in daily life, each moment, without moment of seeing the 10, there must be vitaka, because the other citta cannot see, cannot hear. Only 10, 2 see and the 2 hear and so on. So the other citta, even the one which adverted to the object, panchatavara vachana, before seeing, needs vitaka. That's why the seeing itself is quite different. It sees now, see, while we can think about what is seen, but it's not moment of seeing. But vitaka works. Vitaka arises and touch the object. That's why it begins to arise and touch the object after the 10. From then on, as the feet of the world, because it keeps on going on and on.
Yes, Ajahn, I was thinking about that, but then you also reminded us that the Panchadvara Vachanachitta also has vitaka.
So only 10 can
so
do not
it's
have.
Already walking there, isn't it?
No, we don't have to say walk, because it hasn't seen yet.
Okay. It hasn't seen yet. Okay.
That's why it needs panchadvara vachana to condition moment of seeing. But mind, see, even manodvara vachana needs vitaka to think about by sanya and other cetasikas.
So it's one thing to understand vitaka in terms of function as touching the object,
mm-hmm.
and this meaning which Robert brought up as foot of the world is another aspect of vitaka,
mm-hmm.
and that starts with the sampatichanna. And yeah.
Only 10.
Only 10 is vitaka. Okay.
What's the feet of the world? What's the difference?
Ajahn was saying that the 10 vinyana chittas, seeing, hearing, yes. smelling, tasting, touching, is just result of karma.
Yes, I understand. They're without vitaka.
That's
yes.
without vitaka. They don't need vitaka. But after that, it starts to experience the same object that the pancha vinyana experience, but with the help of vitaka, the same, all the other chittas that follow must require vitaka. And that's what the foot that's the function of vitaka as the foot of the world. Great. To experience and that object.
What is the difference between feet of the world function, and you said there's a difference between
touching.
What's the difference?
Touching, in the case of pancha dwara vachana, also there's vitaka. But the reference to the foot
because
of the world.
Because it does a see. So it needs vitaka to think about that which impinge on the base. My base, a base.
But the reference of foot of the world is not a reference to pancha vachana dwara vachana.
Mind our process.
Why not? Why is it not the feet?
When you do not see, how can you think about that which is seen?
Where does the pancha vajana chitta come again?
That's the one before seeing.
It's introducing the seeing.
What about then when we talk about thinking in words and so on, and we're reflecting?
Mind our process.
Yes. And that vitaka is still...
After the 10, it's there.
Yes.
With almost chitta, every chitta, except that we learn later.
But it's sort of, it's predominant during when we're thinking and reflecting, right? It's quite, the vitaka's...
There is no thinking.
Yes.
And who knows that it's thinking while there is seeing.
Well, in between.
Hearing,
yeah.
Thinking. It's in between.
Yes.
By vitaka. And more than that, listening, there must be vitaka too.
Sure.
From then on, from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, then it needs vitaka to touch the object so that it can lead to...
And all of these processes are so automatic, as it were, to...
By conditions.
Just by conditions, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just
Anantra Panjaya and so on.
Someone doesn't have to try to have these realities arise because it's just the nature that they keep arising in processes.
More clinging to the self.
I mean, if you think even in terms of a philosophical position, logically, it makes no sense to try because that's how it is and it is happening that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But you say that in a negative...
Even if you think about it,
yes.
When you don't... even if there's no understanding, but there's thinking about it in a philosophical way, that chittas behave like this, it's already conditioned to arise, then it makes no sense to have the belief that you can control it,
yes.
Because it's already like that. Yeah. Right.
So you were saying that even someone who, even when we're not having panya, it's still obvious that it's the truth.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah.
But then again, would someone who's not heard the Dhamma and had any understanding even consider that, what I just said, right?
Well, I think someone must have heard the Dharma a little bit. Most people wouldn't think that way.
Yeah.
Might, even if they hear the Dharma, probably most people wouldn't think that way. I'm just going to look up an extract from Abhidharma in daily life.
But then it seems like after 22 years almost, beginning to understand a little, it seems like, why I didn't understand this before when it is like this, and why did I miss all that? Why couldn't I understand all that when life is like this and it should have been understood, but it has not been understood. It means that actually even now there's not enough understanding. Because Dhamma is deep, and we don't even appreciate how deep the Dhamma is.
Beyond expectation.
Yeah. So it's always more difficult than we think. Always. We think that it's hard, and we think that it's deep, but it's deeper than that.
And the more understanding, it's more deeper.
I was telling Dad that, you know, I've been reading the same, you know, books, chapters for years and years, and I don't know why, but only kind of in the last couple of years, I'm reading the same sentences, but they're hitting me differently, or I see it in a completely different way, and different questions are popping up, and yeah.
And even now, that we think that we understand, even this will be, after 2 years, when you look back at it.
it will be a different conversation about that exact, yes.
And when understanding is there, it develops little by little. No doubt about vitakka and on, little by little.
Okay, I found my question. It's from Nina's book, Abhidharma and Daily Life, chapter 17, Doors and Physical Bases of Citta. And she quotes a interesting sutta from the Salayatanavaga. The Kindred Scenes on Self, second 50, chapter 3, paragraph 1. And the monks came to see the Exalted One, and they talked about what the wandering sectarians, the monks from other teachers, were debating with these monks. And they asked them, why is the holy life lived, and how should we answer? And we told them it was for the full knowledge of dukkha. Did we answer them correctly, O Lord? And the Buddha said, yes, it is for the full knowledge of dukkha that the holy life is lived under my rule. And then he carried on, but if monks, they should question you, but what, friend, is that dukkha? You should answer, pleasant or unpleasant or indifferent feeling, and so on, and carries on. And there's a sutta, is there monks any method by following which a monk, apart from belief, apart from inclination, apart from hearsay, apart from argument, apart from reflection on reason, apart from delight, and what is that? And the, okay, I'll just skip over. And the Buddha said, there is indeed a method, monk, by following which the could all be affirmed. And the answer is, when a monk seen an object with the eye, he recognizes within himself the existence of lust or aversion or ignorance. I have lust, aversion, and ignorance. Or he recognizes the non-existent of these qualities of lust, aversion, and ignorance. And that is that speculating, monks, if the monk knows that directly? And they said, no, Lord. And is that to be understood by seeing them with the eye of wisdom? And surely, Lord. And then monks, this is the method for following which, apart from belief, apart from all those other things, that a monk could affirm inside thus, ended his birth for life in these conditions, there is no hereafter. And then it goes through all the other doors, that it's basically exactly just understand, seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, thinking, etc., just what we've been talking about today. So I thought that was a very relevant sutta to that is the method.
What's
of the Buddha
of the sutta?
It's in the Salayatanavaga.
Yeah,
third 50, chapter 5, paragraph. The sutta's name in English, is there a method? People always want to know a technique. I stopped at feelings because there's many other.
Okay.
I didn't want to read the whole thing, it'll take too long.
I'd like to find out the Pali name. I can ask Sundara.
So that's the method.
Yeah, that's a very good sutra.
Yeah.
I'd like to know the name of it.
It's just, if people ask for us for a technique to understand, that's it, I guess.
More clinging to the idea of self. Wanting to know the technique.
Yeah. Yeah. When people ask for a technique, but then you can say the technique is
find a way to have more lopa.
Well, possibly, but at least it's pointing to the fact that it's happening now, whatever's
but
real now.
It's not only them, it's even us. Each time, there's so much lopa. There's so much lopa, there's so much, as you say, the asavas, the avichasava, dithasava, kamasava, bhavasava. It's there. That it seems that it's ready to arise. Even little bit, we come to a conclusion about this is correct, this is wrong. It's so easy to make it into a method. So easy to come to a conclusion, this is the way.
And only Panya can know that.
And it all depends on conditions. What of those things are going to arise, whether it's contemplation is going to arise or whatever, you know, it depends. It's all conditions. So you can't say it's a fixed, this is this. Even when you study Paticca Samuppada, you know, the progression from ignorance to understanding.
I'd say especially when you study Paticca
Samuppada. Right, right. I mean, even when you study it that way, study that, it's not always exactly that order.
No, we're not doubting about things happening by causes and conditions, but what we are referring to is that our own tendency be attached.
Well, of course. Look how much conditioning we've had from lifetime to lifetime. So, but that's basically it. It doesn't follow a specific prescribed sequence. Although we have it in a sequence there, but it doesn't always follow it.
Since you brought that up, I mean, Ajahn might want to bring.
Please.
Personally, I find the Patana with the 24 conditions relatively clear to my intellectual understanding. But when it comes to the Paticca Samuppada, that is not clear at all, I would have to say.
Which connection do you find not clear?
I don't know. I just find it a little bit...
Yeah, that's good, because above that's a good question.
About my ability to understand the Paticca Samuppada is very difficult.
Samuppada.
Yes.
Paticca Samuppada.
Yes, Paticca Samuppada.
See, we try to understand the word
and
the topic,
but
it's there now.
Yes.
And we just talk about it, but we don't name it.
Okay, yes.
That's why when we understand the name, we know, that's it. Citta and Cetasika arises together, so it is Sahachatapaccaya. We don't give the name in the beginning.
Yes.
But the understanding that whenever citta arises, it must have another reality arising together. Mm-hmm. That is saha, arising together.
Mm-hmm.
Saha chata,
mm-hmm.
arising. Paccaya, it has to arise together. So when we come to the meaning of saha chata paccaya, we know what are the four primary rupas. They have to arise together. Mm-hmm. So we just talk about the moment of birth, the moment when it arises as sahachata, no matter what. But we don't talk about the moment when it falls away. Citta falls away before rupa.
Mm-hmm.
So some rupa arises at moment of citta, but it falls away after citta. So it can be just only sahachata paccaya, but it cannot be sampayutta paccaya or anyamanya paccaya. We all know that, but we don't know the name. That's it. And when citta and cetasika arise together, it is atti paccaya. They have to be there together.
Mm-hmm.
After arising, they have to be there together. And when it falls away, natti paccaya. So on, just what we have heard, anantara paccaya, samananta paccaya, atipati paccaya, indriya paccaya.
Well, it shows how helpful these details of the Abhidharma are. What you're just talking about now, it's...
To let go the idea of self. The point is that to let go, that nobody can make it arise, but they are but conditioned by different patiyas and many patiyas too, not only one. Vipaka patiya, makha patiya. See, we all know kusala and akusala is the patiya for vipaka. Mm-hmm. Only the name is not talked about in the beginning, but later on. Anantra patiya, see?
So we know those things from the beginning without naming them, but does the naming them and knowing the details, how is that helpful then? Can you
just talk about what are the patiya and what are the patyupanna, the result, that's all. But when it comes to be just one particular patiya, it looks like it's so very difficult. But we have known some of them from the very beginning, like Sahachata Patiya, no doubt. Pakatu Panisya Patiya, we talk about the natural tendency. But just to learn only about Patiya cannot condition any understanding, because they are only number. How many reality are Patiya and how many reality are Patyupanna? Just the word. But when there is the understanding, no doubt, no matter what is there, it's conditioned. For example, avicca, see, whatever is conditioned to arise because of that is still avicca.
Yes, that as paticcu samuppada, that is kind of clear, yes. I understand that level. I understand it intellectually, yeah.
Can you say something? I'd like to understand.
Well, in the Paticcu Samuppada, they talk about tanha and avijja, right? And we have some understanding of that in Dhamma, that those are the root conditions for the arising of this whole round of birth and death, right?
Yeah. I mean, so I've just heard, but I don't understand.
It's like a progression of conditions and of cause and effect, cause and effect. Because it start out with ignorance. I don't remember all of them. Okay, but it starts out with ignorance, leads to desire and aversion and so on. It goes on and on like this. And
but
when you see all those connections there. You look at it, and if you read it and think about it, deeply think about it, you will understand it right away.
Now, earlier Robert was saying that he finds the Pathana understandable, he can understand, but he has difficulty with Paticca Samuppada. So when we hear that a moment of lopa mulya chitta, there must be avicca also, that is one level I understand. But in the case of paticca samuppada, avicca conditioned sankhara, that I find difficult to understand.
Yeah, that's the one connection I find difficult also. You're right, I do have find it.
Well,
can you explain that, Ajahn?
I'll give my understanding first, my very basic understanding, and then Ajahn will...
Yeah, that's the one connection I always
elucidate. So they, what do they say? Avijja, paccaya, sankhara, right? I mean, in a sense, because of avijja, the sankharas are all sorts of akusala and kusala, right? The arahat.
I understand that sense. I heard that sense. That so long as there is still avijja, there's still going to be birth and existence, continued. Existence, that way I understand, but I'm wondering whether that's the way to understand it, that's what it means.
So because you see that there are different realities, different cetasikas, and when we talk about paticca samuppada, it means the core of whatever is there arising. If nothing arises, it's not paticca samuppada. So it depends on avicca, ignorance, when we talk about avijja condition sankhara, we have to understand what it's meant by sankhara. It means only jetana, which is kamma.
Oh, okay.
Only that.
That's
why we learn more about what is the core of what we take for situation to be born and think.
And that chaitana is kusala, what's making kusala or akusala.
To condition vinyana.
Yes.
But that's why three links, the past, the present and the future. It means that there is not just only the present moment. There must be the past as conditions for the present to arise. And the past jetana, condition birth in this life. So it means what in particular? For example, avijja condition sankhara. Sankhara is jetana, cetasika, which condition kamma for vinyana, birth consciousness of this life. So avijja in the past and the kamma in the past condition the birth in this life, present life. And present life, what are there to condition next life? Kamma, condition, bhava, and so on. That's why we have to understand what is meant by sankhara and bhava and so on by way of paticchasamuppada, past, present, future.
And going over this and contemplating this is helpful, Ajahn?
Because you see that there is sankhara in this life,
yes,
which will condition bhava after avijja condition sankhara, and sankhara condition what? Vinyana. Vinyana here means the birth of this life, present life, conditioned by the past, kamma and avijja. And what is there? When there is vinyana, what condition by vinyana?
Nama
and rupa means cetasikas and rupa at moment of birth. And on, understood. But the core is that what we mean here, the past condition the present, and the present condition the future.
The three realms.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So though at moment there must be citta, cetasika and rupa, and cetasika and rupa conditioned by citta, vinyana. It does not arise alone. There conditioned by kamma to have the vipaka cetasika and kammacharupa only at birth, moment of birth. There is not yet the rupa conditioned by other thing. And when there is nama and rupa, it is ayatana. Conditioned seeing and hearing and so on.
So it's a... It's a description of life. It's a description of samsara.
Right. Yes.
Right. Uh-huh.
And it's understanding of the anatomy of that, that these rounds that detaches from the idea of self, I guess, in the beginning. Yeah. Start to see that, have the the right view develops, which is a necessary condition for more right view.
Mm-hmm. Because it includes all dhammas, but we talk about just the core of what condition what to be known in life. How can there be seeing, hearing? Because of there is nama and rupa. And what after the ayatana? Pacha. See? It's there all the time. Who know it? It's not vitakka. It's just the passa. Each moment in life.
And yet that brings up another question. Because passa, in a sense, it's a reality. But then again, it looks like it's just if there's...
It is a reality.
But if there's visible object, sometimes the Buddha talks without mentioning passa, like because of... visible object, and you know, there's that conditions jaku vinyana, and doesn't mention pasa, and it looks like
why do we need this pasa there?
Don't you need that particular function to contact?
And what do you call text? Sutta?
Yes.
Pasa yatana, yes. Sanya yatana, vinyana yatana, all ayatana. And what is meant by ayatana?
Yes.
See?
But it kind of looked to me in the past that citta can experience, citta is just there experiencing the object. Why does it need this pasa? But pasa is...
Can
this,
it arise alone without
pasa?
It has
pasa? To have other...
Can it see
thinkers,
with a pasa? Can it hear?
I'm sure at some time you'll have questions about certain other chetasikas too. Why that? Why this? Right. But I think it makes sense. Because I know what you're saying is that some texts talk, put it this way, that the coming of the three is contact.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's why.
The coming of the three is contact.
Yeah.
And I would have thought that way,
yes,
too.
That's what I was getting
but
at.
But the more you hear about and study about different chetasikas, and then for me, it makes sense to say that pasa, contact, is a function. The function of a chetasika. That's it. And particularly, we're talking about namas, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the contact we talked like this, right? This actually, there's no contact. There's no contact. Contact, that contact is a nama.
If it cannot experience, how can it contact?
Yeah, well, that clarifies actually, because sometimes one... There's no one could be experiencing. Oh, there could be touching in the conventional sense and from all sorts of different doorways. But if the attention is at another doorway, there's no, because there's no pasa there. Then it's like that. There's no, it's not there. Yeah.
But pasa arises each moment.
Yes, but pasa is experiencing
something
one
else.
Object. Yeah.
What he's saying is like. Right now, they're sitting on the chair.
Yeah.
At the moment of seeing, there's no body consciousness.
Yes. Yes. Even though conventionally we're saying I'm sitting on the chair and there must
mm-hmm.
be
yeah.
hardness or softness,
yeah.
but actually at the moment yeah. of seeing, there's no pasa for seeing. There's no pasa with arising with Jacobinyana at that time. Yeah.
To get back to the original, I think the original question, Sukhin and I had the same question about. Ignorance leading to the arising of what was the second thing?
Sankara.
Okay, ignorance leading to the rise of sankara. I can understand all the other steps, but I don't know how ignorance itself leads to sankara. I know it's a condition for it, but I don't understand why. Ignorance will bring sankara.
Because it doesn't understand what condition what.
I know that, but it doesn't make... There still
if
seems
you,
to be something missing in the understanding.
If there is the understanding all about condition and everything, no clinging to be born again.
Yeah, I can understand that from the, you know, at an intellectual level. But I still don't understand how ignorance itself is the cause for
something. You can understand it this way. I'm looking at here what you showed me.
Yeah, yeah.
Ignorance condition sankara is the past part of the paticca-samuppada.
Right, that's
the
first step.
So the karma process. So it can be understood that so long as there's, and we're talking about it's samsara, so long as there's ignorance and compared with the arahat who has no more ignorance,
mm.
there's still kusla and akusla.
Yes.
Right, that I understand.
So sankara here is chetana.
A chetana.
Kusla
okay.
and akusla chetana.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but then So can we say ignorance only leads to that?
So long as there's ignorance, there's still karma. There's still kusla and akusla karma.
Yeah, I accept the idea that, but I just don't understand that one connection. I don't know. I'm probably not explaining myself properly, but I don't understand that.
And that's why I give the example of the arahat. No more ignorance.
Yeah.
No more kusla. No more akusla.
Okay, that I can understand. But the sankhara itself.
Sankhara is kusla. Kusla.
Oh, it's one of the sankhara. Mm. Oh, I get it. You're saying so they're saying all sankhara, not just okay. Ah.
I mean, it's still just an explanation.
Yeah.
And it's
and it doesn't always go in that.
No, and it's just, it doesn't matter. The thing is that, that's why, I think, Robert, you commented that about when, what you said something about when we first brought up this topic of Paticchasamuppada.
I said the patana was easier to
And Paticchasamuppada, and I thought someone said that, what's the point, you know, of studying?
Yachan
said something like that. What's the point?
Mm.
So usually that's what our interest is, not with understanding. Like,
yeah.
We want to know, but know for what?
Mm.
What's the point? Is that you just want to know and get an explanation? And things like Paticchasamuppada is not so easy. And if we don't understand it, trying to discuss it and talk about it may not be helpful.
It depends, yeah.
Want to hear? Why not you want to hear about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching? Which is...
And of course, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching
is Paticchasamuppada.
Of course, and you have to, you know, because I just got it a little bit. The idea that it's all sankhara, any sankhara.
And what is sankhara? And Achan would say one word at a time. What is sankhara?
And one of the things, Buddhism doesn't tell us why either, right? It just describes the in Paticchasamuppada.
Yeah, it's really why it just happens that way.
It's just describing the reality. It's not saying why it should happen that way.
Yeah.
Always a good topic, the difference between sati and samadhi. I think I understand the difference, but we always see many misconceptions about sati and samadhi, and I used to when I was younger, certainly mix up sati and samadhi and try to know seeing, maybe concentrate on seeing or concentrate on visible object or something. But that's samadhi and it's not sati. So I don't know if Ajahn wants to...
That's why we have to understand each chetasika as it is. And what we take for samadhi, when it's known, right? But it arises with each chitta.
Yes. Samadhi, though, becomes apparent, I guess, at higher levels of samadhi. The chetasika would become
sati
more clear.
Is another chetasika.
Yes.
It cannot be one-pointedness chetasika. But it not forget what is there as wholesomeness.
What is the difference? How can we understand what Roxanne was asking about sanya and memory? And sati is also given that function of non-forgetfulness of, but it's not like sanya. What is the difference?
There can be wrong sanya, right?
Yes.
But there cannot be wrong sati.
Yes. Yes.
Because not reality.
Right.
Well, we can talk about nitya sati, but we don't mean the reality because there is no sati.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They do talk about nitya sati, but it's not referring to reality.
Yeah.
It's just a conventional word, but. Sukhini, you're probably going to say something good, but I'd still like to know more about the difference between sati and sanya as well, as well as samadhi.
Acharya just said that samadhi arises with all chittas, right? But sati does not. So you might like to consider that what's the difference between seeing and kusala chitta? Because seeing has samadhi, kusala chitta has samadhi, but seeing does not have sati, but kusala chitta has sati.
Okay, akusala chitta doesn't have sati.
No, but there's samadhi.
But there is samadhi. Yeah. But sometimes samadhi becomes apparent. Usually it's not apparent, like when seeing samadhi, samadhi might not
so
be apparent.
So the burglar trying to open a safe has samadhi, but no sati.
Yes.
And there's sati, even a short moment of kusala.
Yes.
So there must be a difference.
Must be.
Yeah.
But they're different.
So,
very different.
So tell him what the difference is.
Yeah.
I mean, you, and you say, well, you know, obviously there's no sati when so what is the difference then between sati and samadhi?
Well, how about talking about samadhi.
Wait, just answer that question. The difference, really. Right, there's no sati when somebody is micha samadhi.
When there's kusala, there's sati. When there's akusala, there's no sati.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
And what do you understand by that?
Just what you said. There's no... So what's... When it's akusala, there's no sati.
We
yes,
know
I
that
understand
sati
that.
Is a wholesome...
Right.
Chetasika.
Right.
Must
only
arise
with kusala
all
chitta.
Wholesome.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So there is one chetasika, one reality that arises with only wholesome wholesome
the
kriya in
yeah.
the case of
okay, but,
thing,
but
which is performing a particular function.
Yes.
And when we're talking about samadhi, you're asking that what's the difference, right?
Yeah.
When we're talking about samadhi, we're talking about which is arising even with the moment of akusala, which is also arising with
right.
the moment of seeing.
I understand that, but what exactly is the difference? Rather than telling me which one
right,
arises
right.
with what.
So here is what you might consider, that even with the moment of seeing right now, in order to experience object, there must be the function of one chetasika, which is... focusing on that
right.
visible object.
Samadhi.
Right.
Okay.
That is listening.
Yes.
And does it need sati for that experience?
No.
No. So there's sati has a different function.
All right. So then sati is how
so
you define...
So sati is not focusing. Right?
Is not focusing.
Sati doesn't have the
so,
function
okay, so
of focusing.
So sati doesn't focus, but then sati does what?
Sati is mindful.
Mindful. Okay. All
not
right.
to forget, remember...
Can we clarify that? That's what I want to clarify, this non-forgetting function of sati and compare
of
it also...
Of wholesomeness.
Of wholesomeness, yeah. Yeah. And how does that compare with the marking of sanya?
Sanya just remembers it just arises with each
with
chitta.
Anything, yeah.
Now it is right or wrong sanya, sanya vipalasa, or...
It depends, it could be...
the sanya, not another sanya.
Hmm. Anatta sanya, of course, arises only with sati. It always arises together.
With panya.
With panya and with sati.
Because when there is panya, there must be
with
sati.
Yes. Let's talk about kusala samadhi then. The developed kusala samadhi, when it's developed enough, the samadhi would be clear. That the samadhi is very intense or powerful at that time. Sati is also present. What is the difference between those two at that time? They're both arising together.
Even there's no sati, there is samadhi.
Yes.
There can be
very
yeah.
strong samadhi, like Sukhinda's example of the safe, the guy breaking into the safe. He's obviously fairly concentrated to do that, yeah. When they talk about the Eightfold Path, I think they group sati, samadhi, and sankhapa as the three areas of concentration, right? There's the Eightfold Path has the wisdom.
Sila, Samadhi, and Panya.
Yes, and Sati and Samadhi and Vitaka are, no? Are the,
no, Sankalpa is with Panya.
Panya. Panya, oh, Sankalpa goes with Panya, okay. So Sati and Samadhi go together as the...
Virya.
And Virya as the concentration Sila. Element. Mm-hmm. So Sati must have some element of non-forgetfulness. So it's got, there's some element of concentration there as well somehow. Is that right?
There must be ekakata cetasika.
But that's the...
In any situation, no matter what.
I was just trying to get some ideas.
Otherwise, citta will not just experience one object only. But because of ekakata cetasika, which we say it's samadhi, when it's strong enough to be known.
I mean, people who like to meditate ask questions such as difference between samadhi and sati. It shouldn't be asking about avicca. What does avicca and what is vicca? What is understanding? I mean, avicca doesn't seem to be a, you know, of concern at all.
Because they don't know about it. They don't know what it really means.
That was my list of questions.
Just to condition time for understanding in life. Otherwise, vitaka thinks about other things.
Yes, usually.
Mm-hmm.
People are spiritual, they'll think about religious ideas, but not about the realities explained by the Buddha, so that doesn't help. If people are non-religious, they think about family and money or, you know, hobbies or whatever, and that doesn't help anything. So
also they don't think about morality that much.
So one, without hearing and studying the Buddha's teaching, there's just no way for anything really beneficial, actually.
So what about the reality, which are the path, Eightfold Path, again?
So Samaditi, Sama Sankapa, Sama Virya, is that next? Sama
Vayama.
Vayama, oh, it's Vayama. And Sama Ikagata, Sama Sati, or Sati maybe before that.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But and they can be classified into Sila, Samadhi, and Panya.
Yes.
And three, Virati are Sila, and Vitaka, and Panya is Panya.
Yes.
And the other...
The other
Sati, Virya.
Sati and Virya and Ekagata, is it?
Samadhi.
Samasamadhi, which is Ekagata. So what can you say more about those three, Ajahn? Anything?
Just to know that whenever it is the path, there are Sila, Samadhi and Panya. But when there is no Sila, no abstaining, only five.
Yes, the path can be quite often with just five factors. Yeah.
And so why is Sankalpa classed together with Panya as Panya?
It touches correctly.
Anything more to say about that?
Because you see that it touches other things in a day.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
It doesn't touch the path.
Thinking is always thinking about many, many topics. So many important things to do in
very
a day.
Very important too. The foot of the world.
But usually because of ignorance and lopa, the feet of the world are walking around thinking about useless things. Mm-hmm. And
And only Panya can condition right thinking or right sankappa.
We might come back to this, but let's talk about metta. Metta is a parami. It's one of the parami. Why in particular metta and not, say, karuna or the other Brahma viharas? Why is metta?
Usually, what is appearing now?
People? I don't know.
To be metta,
yes.
Or karuna, or mudita.
Yeah, more often friendliness than
than
karuna or the others, yeah.
So,
well, why not equanimity, though? Equanimity would be nice to have.
That's with understanding, isn't it?
Equanimity.
About karma.
Yes.
So, metta is more in a day. I mean, more situations in a day that calls for metta than the others,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And you can also say, ask it.
And therefore, Chan, more conditions, more situations in a day for metta. And given that metta, if it arises more and more, it has to condition, it has to be the support of panya?
Certainly. Because one knows the value of metta. What condition metta and what condition no metta? To be friendly, well wishes.
And we know also that the other paramis, such as dana, without metta, there cannot be dana also. Right, Ajahn? Without metta, there can be dana.
And there can be more metta with understanding or by understanding.
Right.
Yeah. And all those, the four Brahma Viharas, all those, it also leads to a lessening of the idea of self.
Do you know metta? What's interesting? Means friendliness. Metta. They sometimes call it loving kindness. Metta, but it's one of the 10 parami. Do you know the parami? The perfections, which mean they're the ingredients that lead towards enlightenment. Yeah.
I have that in English.
A good question people ask is then, what is the difference between metta and karuna?
I'm not sure.
In other words, what is the difference between loving kindness and compassion?
Well, if you see someone who's very, say, affluent and doing well and everything, do you have karuna for them? They're good at dharma. Would you have karuna, or would you have metta?
I might not have mudita. Okay.
You might have mudita.
I might not have mudita for them.
You might have mudita.
I might be jealous, which is the opposite.
No, I think, Becky, you're asking from the standpoint of the normal people, they use the word compassion and loving-kindness.
Right.
Because most people who are not Buddhists use compassion to mean a mixture of kindness and, you know, other things, right? That's what you're saying, right? But in Dhamma terms, what do you understand about the difference between metta and karuna?
In Dhamma terms, that's what I'm not quite, and Garuna, that's what I'm not quite sure either, in Dhamma terms.
Okay, it's your question. Okay. So Robert asked you, do you feel compassion for someone who's happy?
Good.
Compassion.
Depends.
I see. But what is compassion, karuna, what is it?
See, this is the thing that I'm confused. One is, to me, one is, metta is action and is actually doing something. I know the jettisons, but to me metta involves more action than karuna.
Achan, can you say something about
it? Yeah, we have to understand the nature of what we take from metta, karuna, mudita, and ubekha.
Yes.
And metta is what?
Friendliness.
Kindness, friendliness.
No lopa, no dosa. So metta is the basic for all kinds of the four
pramihara,
because it is alopa atosa jetasika. When we don't like that person, it is dosa, no metta. But when we have compassion, depending on understanding too, for example, he had great compassion for everyone who do not understand the truth, in that sense. But for anyone who just is so wealthy and welfare and so on, usually people do not have metta because they don't see that no matter who, rich or poor, does not understand the truth. So it depends on situation and condition too.
So how would you explain?
Are you metta kun tan uon now because he didn't know anything about the truth? He doesn't.
Yes, I have metta.
So metta, to be friendly, and also karuna, be kind, compassion to his ignorant and no, no interest in understanding the truth.
So the two, there's a difference. One, you're kind to him as a person, as a friend. Another, because he doesn't understand Dhamma, you have compassion.
Mm. Instead of anger.
So how would we further define that?
And mudita, when he starts to understand, and he's understanding now that
you have mudita. Then you have mudita if he starts to understand.
Ah, okay.
And when it goes back and he says the wrong thing, then it's upekkha.
Just to define it, karuna has the as an object the suffering of other beings.
Yeah.
Karuna.
Okay.
And the wish that they don't suffer.
Okay.
That's why the Buddha, in seeing, and the Bodhisattva, in seeing beings with so much ignorance. He took on the path to become a Buddha, a future Buddha, to help people get out of ignorance.
Yeah. That's why I said it a moment ago. To me, compassion is more of the feeling, whereas metta is results in action.
No, metta is just a feeling of like here. I can have metta towards you without thinking that you are having any problems or suffering or anything. Just kind of friendliness, like we are friendly with people, right? That's metta.
Right.
But then if I hear about you, your problems, then I can have some compassion for you.
Okay, all right, got it. Okay.
Right.
And then Ajahn said earlier that metta, there's no lopa or dosa, right? So how about karuna?
Karuna, when you have the understanding and have compassion about his situation or trouble.
Then
no dosa.
There's no dosa.
Yes,
okay.
Because all kinds of kusala do not have lopa and dosa. And what about the last one, Kunbeti?
Last Brahma Vihara.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's when there's neither dosa nor...
How can it be?
You mean how would it arise? If metta and karuna arise?
Metta is metta, and ubekha is not metta.
Yeah. Another,
it's based around karma, understanding karma.
Oh.
And conditions. Yeah.
It's higher than metta, karuna, and mudita.
Yes, it is.
Because it's the understanding.
Right. It really needs more understanding than anything else.
Not waver, no matter what, by conditions. Otherwise, we will feel bad for any situation, but that it's not kusala.
And all of those Brahma Viharas, though, there's no extra special chittasika, that the Metta chittasika or the Karuna chittasika, there's no, they're all a dosa and a lopa.
Isn't Karuna a chittasika?
Karuna Jetasika.
There is Karuna Jetasika.
Yeah, there is.
Oh, okay.
Metta Jetasika. There is a Jetasika for them.
No, Metta is Alopa.
Yes.
Alopa.
Okay, yeah.
Is there a Karuna Jetasika? Is there? I must have forgot that one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Two of the four are Jetasikas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what we
Ubeka.
Karuna and Mutita.
Not Ubeka.
Ubeka is Satra Machatata.
Oh, is Satra Machatata.
So it would be easier if Metta had a chittasika too, then we could clarify more, but
yeah.
It doesn't, it's just a low part of the dosa, you know?
Yeah. It's not called Metta chittasika.
It makes it easier to just distinguish and focus on.
It wouldn't make it easy to understand, but it seems easier if it's written down like that.
It's more blur when it's like the same chetasika that performs a different function.
Yeah,
you know.
It seems so, but in reality, it's just, it's not.
It depends
blur
on the object,
yeah,
also.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I see why a lot of the Abhidhamma people that get very into the theory without relating it to daily life. I can see, you know, there's that tendency in myself too to. See, I see it in paper on writing, and I think, okay, that's clarified. I don't need to go into that. But in fact, it has to be understood. That's a different altogether. Yeah.
So I'm very lucky to have you.
Okay.
I was lucky too, and I came across Nina's writings, and she emphasized that so much, right? You know, all her Buddhism in daily life, Abhidhamma in daily life, it was all relating it directly all the time. And she emphasized that. I mean, she learned from you, of course. So
that's what we were talking over lunch. For me,
immediately I knew that.
You have done the most work. Second, I think Nina has done a lot of work for the Dhamma.
Yes.
I mean, the world of Buddhists.
By conditions. Just live to understand the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Never enough. Because it has to be letting go in order to understand the truth.
Yeah.
The letting go of the self.
Okay.
And what is taken for thing and people. All around in daily life.
So, what you're saying now is there has to be letting go in order to understand the truth. You mean to say if there was no letting go, there cannot be development of understanding. So,
and that is the meaning of letting go from the very beginning. Wrong understanding, ignorance about whatever is there, from hearing, considering. Until being so very confident of the truth, and that is satya bharani, to be truthful to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is very important too. Otherwise we'll go wrong. What is jetasika? It's not known. It's me all the time. No letting go at all.
And when they talk about satya parami, though, they talk about it in a very conventional sense of not telling lies, and, you know, the Buddha, when he was a bodhisattva, would never intentionally lie and so on. And
that is no panya. So all parami comes from panya.
Okay, yeah.
But in the case of bodhisattva,
it's with panya,
it was not understanding at that moment, but the background of panya, accumulated panya, that conditions all his kusala, which becomes parami. Because there's kusala conditioned by past accumulated panya also, and kusala, that is like anyone can have, even those people who can have not heard the Dharma.
Confidence of the truth of no self.
What's that? Saddha or satcha or both?
Panya.
Panya. Panya.
With other wholesomeness, parami. Like being friendly. See, when there is the understanding that all are the same.
Everyone's going to die. This.
Seeing, hearing, smelling, like the same, so on. Ignorance or understanding, no one there at all. To pity the one who has wrong understanding and immorality. Better than not to be friendly, not be friendly.
It's all about understanding. If there's not enough understanding, then there's going to be a lot of akusla. There's no seeing the value of metta or anything. But once the understanding is high enough, then the benefit of all kusala will be seen here.
So is it firm enough now of no self and no thing?
Never enough.
That's it.
I mean, now it seems firm, but if there's not more development, who knows next life, will it be, you know, like this now? It's,
because there is the ignorance.
They want to be born into a life where it's an opportunity to study.
Now, I just wanted to say, Roxanne, you were asking earlier about accumulations, and we were talking more or less in the abstract about different realities conditioning more of the same, you know, like attachment and more attachment to that. But one thing about it's one thing to talk about accumulations, that we have this kind or that kind of accumulations, but the reality, the truth is that we know the accumulation only when it appears, and that's only with understanding. For example, it's one thing to talk about I have a lot of attachment, a lot of ignorance, but to know that attachment that has arisen now and know that it's there is that's the accumulation. That is knowing accumulation at that moment, the attachment. Otherwise, it's just abstract. No.
So accumulations are showing themselves all the time, you know, because there's accumulations to like this or to dislike that. There's accumulations to listen to Dharma. There's accumulations to get bored with Dharma sometimes. They're just showing themselves, so it's there.
It comes with the conditions. They're the same time.
A little bit of understanding now can lead to moment of understanding the truth of what is there. By conditions, unexpectedly, who knows? Pakatupanisya pachaya.
That's the other aspect of accumulations. Pakatupanisya pachaya, natural decisive support condition, which is saying that it's by, for example, that you like durian, is because you've accumulated liking for durian, so it arises very naturally by conditions each time that you think about it or you see a picture of durian, that there's a liking. That's just the natural way. It becomes natural to that each time you see a photo or you get the smell, you want to eat. You want to taste. That's the meaning of pakatupanisya pachaya. Actually, that is a very that
wide pachaya, which covers everything, actually. Even we refer to seeing, experiencing visible objects, so it's natural for seeing to experience visible object, because that is the object that is the usual for seeing. So we can talk pakatupanesya in that respect also, right? So it's like natural, it's like nature, it's like saying it's nature.
All adamas. No matter how much we talk about reality and it's there now, not enough understanding, because it's not direct understanding of a reality. But when they know that one reality is not the other reality, and what are there, little by little, there can be attention to that characteristic, that it's there, which can be known only when it's there. So now, even it's there, it's not known.
But even that can be understood at the intellectual level, that it's not known. And you can even understand accumulations, because there are conditions for it, there are accumulations for it.
And at the moment of thinking about it, it's just like reminder,
yes,
that it's there, so true, which it's not known yet.
And that thinking is still valuable. It's still it's a beginning, but we don't neglect it, because it's part of the process. It's needed.
That is pachya.
Yes, it's pachya. If we just say, sometimes we say, the direct experience is what we're going for, and immediately people think, well, the thinking's getting in my way. The thinking about Dharma's pushing me away from understanding the present moment. But in fact, that's one of the conditions for direct understanding. I mean, I don't know. There's a balance, obviously. Mm-hmm. There's,
I think that's why in the Satipatthana Sutta they talk about understanding everything, citta with lopa, citta with this thing. So when it's thinking with lopa, that's the object,
that
will be the object of understanding. So it's like when there's the idea of having to do something, it's missing the point.
It takes one away from the truth.
What if we think I should listen to Dharma?
That is
still open. Yeah.
You know what Dharma is. Yes, yes. See? It depends on understanding. Yes. When you think like that.
Yes.
Is there any understanding of Dharma?
As the Buddha himself said, you know whether a person has right or wrong understanding is through discussion. So it doesn't stop there. So you discuss, right, what is listening to Dharma, what is Dharma. You won't find that being the interest of people who want to meditate. That's the thing, that's exactly what they want to avoid. They want to go, right.
Well, it's not just them. I mean, even we sometimes might want to have more direct experience, and you know, think that
it's the same thing.
Yeah, thinking about Dharma is getting in my way. Let me directly know seeing. You know, we can have a very subtle approach. Yeah. Or go the opposite and think I've got to think more about Dharma and try and reflect more. Or, you know, it's so easy to go wrong, obviously.
Oh, upadana khanda. Rupupathanakhanda, Vetanupathanakhanda, Sanyat, all kinds.
Yes.
The five khandas are Upadhanakhanda.
Yes.
And so just consider to understand the truth, like even the word khanda, what is it? It seems like there is the understanding of khanda, like rupa is our reality. But what is khanda? Only one in samsara. We cannot give that word for one, two, three, four, five, countless. See, each one, only once in samsara, is khanda.
Yes. And ayatana too, right?
One khanda.
It is ayatana, but from the standpoint of only one in samsara, that's the meaning of khanda. Ayatana means meeting. It is khanda also. Ayatana is khanda.
Yes.
Usually people think about khanda as a group.
Yes.
But actually it's not. Just only one.
Okay.
We have one, two, three, four, five, see? But only one.
Yes.
Never to arise
yes.
again.
Yes.
And that is khanda. Never arise again.
Why not just stick to ayatana, or stick to khanda, or stick to dhatu? Why have the three?
Because they are through
yes.
different aspects.
Yes.
So,
and I think, Achan, there is wrong understanding from all aspects.
For all aspects.
all aspects.
That's what I figured too.
That's why we have to understand the meaning of the word. Why talk about khanda, just only one? And why talk about ayatana? What does it mean?
And what does it mean, meeting place?
It cannot arise alone.
Okay.
That's why there is manayatana
yes.
and dhammayatana.
Okay.
Can there be only manayatana without dhammayatana? Because dhammayatana is cetasikas and other rupa, which is not the daily life rupa, seven kinds of rupa. That's why we learn to understand what is the meaning of that particular word.
And what about dhatu?
Dhatu, no one can change its characteristic.
It's just an element. It's
an element.
Well, that's very helpful, actually, to see those three differences that are all about the same reality, isn't it?
So the Tipitaka is not just to read, but to understand each word. And when there is no understanding from the very beginning, there cannot be understanding of any word in Tipitaka. Much more subtle than anyone can expect. Even just the kalapa, see?
Well, I always like to hear about
does
kalapa.
A kalapa appear, see? But break it down to one kalapa.
Mm.
It cannot be breakable. At all.
Beyond that one kalapa.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Robert, between the two aspects of kalapa, one is the most fundamental in terms of tininess,
yes.
and the other most fundamental in terms of being earth is earth, fire is fire, water is water, wind is wind, and they all arise, condition each other. Which one do you think is more important to understand?
Well, you need to understand both to see why there's this difference in the material world, right? Why is, when we're talking, why does there's so many varieties of... If it was only tininess was the only thing, then all materiality would be the same, right? It has to understand
no,
the variety.
Earlier you were saying that tininess, we can understand in from the aspect that one kalapa would not just one moment of visible object cannot, we're talking about nimitta, so it's
yes.
many
yes.
so from that point
yes.
I understand, right? But
well, and the eight, because of the intensity of the eight, that conditions why the visible objects are so different. So both of them are fundamental,
yeah.
And the fact that science talks about Athens is neither here nor there, it just happens to coincide a little bit with how we look at Kalapas, yeah.
But it's not now.
But and also
just talk about the story.
Yes, yeah. It's just the story of
as Athens. Ice cream or rice or durian.
Yeah.
See, that's where the thing is that science has no idea that now means that only one rupa is the object of chitta, right?
Well,
hardness is hardness, visible object is visible
and
object.
Also, when they talk about Athens, it sounds kind of Buddhistic, but however, they think the same atom keeps there. They don't think the atom disappears and a new one is replacing it. They think it's the same atom carrying on. So the thing is that it's not the study
Based on one object at a time. That, for example, we're talking about nimitta. Earlier we're talking about nimitta, nimitta of visible object, right? Say, for example, with understanding that it's a visible object, which is one of the eight rupas in a kalapa. And the kalapas as in tiny, small, many, many kalapas. So science is not understanding visible object, it's understanding concept and breaking that concept into smaller.
True.
Right? So it's totally different.